in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheers.
You know, I can't think of a better way to start the new year than talking about being obsessed with something. You know, people have probably made their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, except for me, but...
You know, and, they want to get rid of some kind of, habit or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But I want to give you some... I want to give you a habit to start.
That's different.
Today, we're going to... This is January 1st, 2010. We are going to give you a habit... to start, not to quit, and the habit is we want you to be obsessed with something this year. You know, some people want to quit eating chocolate, or they want to quit drinking so
boring.
Much. You know, let's not think on negative. Let's start a habit today.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got?
First, I want to start. We talked yesterday about locating Christ.
Mm-hmm. Great topic.
First question. In the first question of the Old Testament was God, Adam, where art thou, right?
Mm-hmm.
Locating Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the first question in the New Testament is? I'm going to turn to Matthew 2 for a minute, and I'm just going to read a passage there. And I want to go back to Colossians 3 and talk a little bit about our new obsession for 2010. In chapter 2 of Matthew, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king... Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." That's the first question in the New Testament, in the Greek scriptures. Men arrive in Jerusalem asking, where is he so that we can worship him? Where is he? We need to locate him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Jews didn't want to locate him. That was their indictment. That's why these Gentiles came, was to inspire them to... find their Messiah. He's here. He's been prophesied. Daniel told you the date he'd be born. But they weren't looking for him. They weren't trying to locate him. They were too busy with their religion to locate Christ.
Yeah.
The first question of the New Testament was, where is he? And here's the great question today. Remember we talked last week, we're not interested in stables. We're not interested in Easter bunnies or
Christmas trees or
nativity sets. We want to know, where is he? And guess what? He's not in the stable. Where is Christ? And this is our new obsession. Let's find our new habit to start in 2010. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 reads this. "If ye then be risen with Christ," and we are, "believers today have died with Christ, and they're risen with him." It says, "If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." You know, in old times, the right hand was the place of the accuser. But when we look up at the right hand, what do we see?
Our accuser is our defender.
Is our defender. Christ is at the right hand. He says, "Set your affection on things above." Now, the Concordant Version reads, "Be disposed." It's your bent. You know when people talk about you're bent?
Mm-hmm.
Like your bent is toward cruddy music, like Led Zeppelin. That's your bent.
Right.
Okay? It has to do with your obsession. Be obsessed with this. King James says, "Set your affection." It has to do with your affections, your obsession. You're bent toward something. Leaning. He says, "Set your affection on things above," where? But not on the things on the earth. So where are we? What are we obsessed with? We want to know where he is. And our obsession is with that realm. Because for believers, that's the destiny and where we're going to rule from. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God." You know, in the book of Job, God gave permission to Satan to take everything from Job but his life.
Mm-hmm.
Our life is hid with Christ and God.
Sounds good to me.
Can't be lost. In Colossians, we can be deprived of reward and our prize, but we can never lose our life. Right?
Right.
"So, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ," whatever, no signs,
right,
We're not looking for national movements.
Israel is. We're not.
We're not. We're not looking for a movement of the Spirit of God. You know, there'd be all these, you know, ministers talking about the great move of the Spirit of God. The end time's near. If you send us a donation for $29.95, we'll tell you how to fix it.
Yeah.
All right. When Christ, who is our life, I love that phrase, he's our life. For me to live is Christ. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then, notice the word when, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is the latest revelation God has given to us regarding our destiny.
And really, why shouldn't it be our destiny? According to Philippians 3:20, our realm is inherent in the heavens. This is a parallel passage, Dan, what you were reading.
Exactly.
Our realm is inherent. It inheres there. It is natural there. We're not earthly people having spiritual experiences. We're spiritual people having earthly experiences. I'm in foreign country right now. Our realm's inherent in the heavens, out of which we're awaiting a Savior. I guess that really goes along with what you're saying, out of which you have to know where he is before you know where to expect him. He is coming out of the place where our realm is inherent.
Exactly.
A Savior, not a congratulator. He's not going to come down and congratulate us for manifesting the kingdom of God in our bodies. Way to go.
Yeah.
You don't need me to
thanks
come back.
Right?
Thanks for converting the world to Christ. Thanks for bringing the kingdom on earth. Thanks, you know, thanks. I guess you don't really need me to come back after all. But no, he is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of his glory, in accord with the operation which enables him even to subject all to himself. That is amazing. The very power that it takes to subject the whole universe to himself, that's the same power he's going to use to transfigure our body of humiliation. Gee, I wonder if he can do it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if that's the power, then I don't think we have to worry that it's going to be a half job, or it's going to be not quite. He's going to leave a little bit in the corners that he didn't get. No. Our bodies of humiliation are going to be changed in order for us to share in that realm. We're going to our home, and our bodies have to be changed to suit us for the trip.
Yep. We have to have bodies suited.
That's right.
To the sphere in which it'll occupy.
And all we can do now is lay on the grass and look up.
Exactly.
And in order to go up there, you have to go to great extremes. You have to get yourself in a tin can, pump it with air, put a 10,000 million pounds of TNT under it, and light a match. You know, and then you can only stay up there for a short time, and you fall down in the ocean with a parachute. I mean, sorry, but that's not how I want to do it. This is much easier.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, much easier.
I'm just so excited about this. I think we should just quit now.
Yeah, why not? Well, I mean, this is fantastic.
We've got some minutes left.
So,
I mean, how can you get past that Colossians 3, man?
I know. How can you get? Well, I guess you could go to Philippians 4.
Well, how do we do that?
Well, based on what he just said there, that our realm's inherent in the heavens, we're waiting, all these wonderful things, so that, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and wreath, be standing firm thus. Be standing firm thus. Based on the things I just told you, Paul said,
yeah.
This fantastic expectation that you have, this isn't a never-never land. This is a place where Christ, our Savior, is. We are going to see Jesus Christ in his glorified form. We have to be transformed in order to see Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You are going to see Jesus Christ. He's not a wisp of air. He's not a spirit. He is a human being, albeit a glorified human being. And we are going to lay our eyes upon him. And I get shook up just talking about that. This is no pie in the sky dream. This is real. This is not a movie.
No.
And our bodies, we can't imagine how this could possibly happen, because this is all we have known, is these bodies of humiliation. It's all we've known. We can only imagine what it's going to be like. To first of all defy gravity, we're going to rise and meet the Lord in the air. Gee, I wonder what Paul meant by that. What if he meant what
exactly
he said,
what he said,
and said what he meant. We are going to meet him in the air. In order to do that without an airplane or a hot air balloon, you're going to have to be transformed because you're going to defy gravity. And we're going to be together with the Lord. Where? Are we coming back down to earth with him? No.
No.
No. The reason being is because our realm is inherent in the heavens. And we are going to complete the universe through Christ. And that is a celestial work. And these beings that we're talking about, these celestial beings, they also are waiting for our manifestation. You know? We're going to be manifested to the universe. You read that verse, when Christ is manifested, then we shall be manifested.
Yeah.
There is going to come an hour and a day when we stand before the universe and we're unveiled for what we are. Now we're veiled. Your life is hid together. God is working very hard to keep you hid. But when he takes the lid off, my friend, we are going to be manifested to the universe with the same glory that he himself has.
And listen, he is going to be unveiled in the celestial realms and on the earth. And that's why the body of Christ is called the complement of him that completes all in all. Because Christ has a role to fulfill among the celestials, and who is the people that are associated with him in that?
The body of Christ,
now,
us.
What's he going to do on earth? He's going to be unveiled on earth, and who are his earthly people?
Israel.
And what is Christ going to do with his earthly people on earth?
Answer that.
Bring the world to himself.
Yes.
Nations, right?
And
Israel is going
to
be the
yes.
priesthood nation. What is Christ going to do with his body in the celestials?
He's going to bring the rest of the celestial world to
him. Celestial world. We have a role. Heaven is not like you learn in Catholic school or grammar school. Heaven is not the guy sitting on a harp. You and I have a political role to fill up there,
it's
baby.
It's politics, baby.
It is.
And you know, Zechariah prophesied concerning our Lord that he is going to come down and touch his feet on the Mount of Olives. He is going to descend to the earth on the land. Not so when he comes for us.
That's right.
He does not touch down on the ground. He takes us to be where he is. That's a big difference. There's a difference between how he's glorified and manifested in Israel and when he's glorified and manifested with us.
All right, to conclude today's new year, here's our new obsession. Let's read it again, shall we? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where? Coordinates. Where
yeah.
Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Be obsessed. Be bent toward these things. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a great way to start the year, huh, Martin?
And ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing you have done to deserve this.
Absolutely.
There
not.
Is no worth that God looked down and said, you're a good person, I'm going to give you this expectation. It is his sovereign choice in grace. And thank God every day if you hear this message and receive it and believe it. I am Martin Zender, and Happy New Year to you.
This is Dan Sheridan. Happy New Year to y'all.
And we're just getting started. We're going to be back on Monday with more grace and truth from the Word of God. God bless everybody.